The following is a free-for-download audiobook available on Google Drive. The Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 43, Parenthood. When ecstatic love develops into the relationship of parenthood and becomes steadily established, the relationship is called Vatsalya Ras. The exhibition of this Vatsalya Ras standard of devotional service can be found in the dealings of Krishna with his devotees, who represent themselves as superior personalities like father, mother, and teacher. Learned scholars have described the impetuses for parental love for Krishna existing in the elderly personalities who are in relation with him as follows. Quote, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose bodily complexion is just like a bluish, newly grown lotus flower, whose body is very delicate, and whose lotus eyes are surrounded by scattered hair as black as bees, was walking on the streets of Vrindavan when Mother Yashoda, the beloved wife of Nanda Maharaj, saw him. Immediately the milk began to flow from her breasts, soaking her body. End quote. Some specific provocations for parental love of Krishna are listed as his blackish bodily hue, which is very attractive and pleasing to see, his all auspicious bodily features, his mildness, his sweet words, his simplicity, his shyness, his humility, his constant readiness to offer respect to the elderly, and his charity. All of these qualities are considered ecstatic provocations for parental love. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 8th Chapter, Verse 45, it is stated by Shukadeva Goswami that Mother Yashoda accepted Lord Krishna as her son, even though he is accepted in the Vedas as the king of heaven, in the Upanishads as the impersonal Brahman, in philosophy as the supreme male, and by the yogis as the supersoul, and by the devotees as the supreme personality of Godhead. Once, Mother Yashoda addressed one of her friends in this way, quote, Nanda Maharaj, the leader of the cowherd men, worshipped Lord Vishnu along with me, and as a result of this worship, Krishna has been saved from the clutches of Putana and other demons. The twin Arjuna trees were, of course, broken due to a strong wind, and although Krishna appeared to have lifted Govardhan Hill along with Balaram, I think that Nanda Maharaj actually held the mountain. Otherwise, how could it have been possible for a little boy to lift such a great hill? End quote. This is another example of ecstasy and parental love. This kind of parental love is generated in a devotee out of his conviction in love that he is himself superior to Krishna, and that without being taken care of by such a devotee, Krishna could not possibly live. One devotee therefore prayed to the parents of Lord Krishna as follows. Quote, let me take shelter of the elderly parental devotees of Lord Krishna. They are always anxious to serve Krishna and to maintain him, and they are always so kind to him. Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto them for being so kind to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the parent of the whole universe. End quote. There is a similar prayer to by a Brahmana who says, quote, let others worship the Vedas and the Upanishads, and let others worship the Mahabharat as if they are afraid of material existence and want to become liberated from that condition. But as far as I'm concerned, I wish only to worship Maharaj Nanda because the Supreme Personality of Absolute Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is crawling in his courtyard as his own child. End quote. The following is a list of respectable personalities who enjoy parental affection toward Krishna. Number 1, Mother Yashoda, the Queen of Raja. 2, Maharaj Nanda, the king of Raja. 3, Mother Rohini, the mother of Balaram. 4, all the elderly gopis whose sons were taken away by Lord Brahma. 5, Devaki, the wife of Vasudev. 6, the other 15 wives of Vasudev. 7, Kunti, the mother of Arjuna. 8, Vasudev, the real father of Krishna. And 9, Sandipani Muni, Krishna's teacher. All these are considered respectable elderly personalities with parental love for Krishna. This list is in order of superior importance, and thus we can see that Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj are considered to be the supermost of all elderly personalities. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 9th Chapter, Verse 3, Shukadeva Goswami gives Maharaj Parikshit a description of the form and beauty of Mother Yashoda. He says, quote, "My dear king, the wide hips of Mother Yashoda were surrounded by silk and linen clothes, and her breasts were flowing with milk because of her affection. When she was churning butter and tightly holding the rope, the bangles on her hands and the earrings on her ears were moving, and from the nice decoration of her in her hair, the flowers were slackening and falling down. Due to her excessive labor, there were drops of perspiration on her face," end quote. There is another description of Mother Yashoda in a devotee's prayer, quote, "Let me be given protection by Mother Yashoda, whose curly hairs are bound with thread, whose hair is very brightly beautified by vermilion placed in the part, and whose bodily frame derides all her ornaments. Her eyes are always engaged in seeing the face of Krishna, and thus they are always filled with tears. Her complexion, which resembles the blue lotus flower, is enhanced in beauty by her dressing herself with many colorful garments. Let her merciful glance fall upon all of us so that we may be protected from the clutches of Maya and smoothly progress in our devotional service," end quote. There is the following description of Mother Yashoda's affection for Krishna. After rising early in the morning, Mother Yashoda first of all offered her breast milk to Krishna, and then she began to chant various mantras for his protection. Then she would decorate his forehead very nicely and bind his arms with protective talismans. By all these activities, it is definitely understood that she is the emblem of all maternal affection for Krishna. The description of Nanda Maharaja's bodily features is as follows. The hairs on his head are generally black, but some of them are gray. His garments are of greenish color, like the newly grown leaves of the banyan tree. His belly is fatty, his complexion is exactly like the full moon, and he has a beautiful mustache. When Krishna was a baby, one day he was walking in the courtyard, capturing the finger of his father, but because he could not walk steadily, he appeared to be almost falling down. While Nanda Maharaj was giving protection to his transcendental son in this way, all of a sudden there were drops of tears in his eyes and he became overwhelmed with joy. Let all of us offer our respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of King Nanda. Childhood age, childish dress, movements of the child, sweet words spoken by the smile, child, nice smiling and various forms of childish play are considered provocation for increasing parental love for Krishna. The childhood ages of Krishna are divided into three periods, the beginning of Kumar age, the middle of Kumar age, and the end of Kumar age. During the beginning and middle of the Kumar age, Krishna's thighs are fatty and the inner parts of his eyes are whitish. There are signs of teeth coming out and he is very mild and gentle. He is described as follows, quote, "When Krishna had only three or four teeth coming out of his gums, his thighs were fatty, his body was very, very short, and he began to enhance the parental love of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda with the activities of his childish body. He was sometimes stepping with his legs again and again, sometimes crying, sometimes smiling, sometimes sucking his thumb, and sometimes lying down flat. These are some of the different activities of the child, Krishna. When Krishna was lying down flat, sometimes sucking the toes of his feet, sometimes throwing his legs upward, sometimes crying and sometimes smiling, Mother Yashoda, seeing her son in such pastimes, did not show any sign of restricting him, but rather began to watch her child with eagerness, enjoying these childhood pastimes." End quote. In the beginning of Krishna's Kumar age, the nails of tigers were set in a golden necklace about his neck. There was a protective tilak on his forehead, black mascara around his eyes, and silk thread around his waist. These are the descriptions of Krishna's dress at the beginning of the Kumar age. When Nanda Maharaj saw the beauty of child Krishna with tiger nails on his chest, a complexion like the new-grown tamal tree, beautifully decorated tilak made with cow's urine, arm decorations of nice silk thread and silk clothes tied around his waist, when Nanda Maharaj saw his child like this, he never became satiated by the child's beauty. In the middle of Kumar age, the upper portion of Krishna's hair falls around his eyes. Sometimes he's covered with cloth around the lower part of his body, and sometimes he's completely naked. Sometimes he tries to walk, taking step by step, and sometimes he talks very sweetly in broken language. These are some of the symptoms of his middle Kumar age. He is thus described when Mother Yashoda once saw him in his middle Kumar age. His scattered hairs were touching his eyebrows and his eyes were restless, but he could not express his feelings with proper words. Still, when he was talking, his talk was so nice and sweet to hear. When Mother Yashoda looked at his little ears and saw him naked, trying to run very quickly with his little legs, she was merged into the ocean of nectar. Krishna's ornaments at this age are a pearl hanging from the septum of his nose, butter on his lotus-like palms, and some small bells hanging around his waist. It is stated that when Mother Yashoda saw that the child was moving, ringing the bells on his waist, smiling with her at her, with a pearl between his nostrils and with butter on his hands, she became wonderfully pleased to see her little child in that fashion. While Krishna was in the middle of his Kumar age, his waist became thinner, his chest became broader, and his head was decorated with his curly hairs, resembling the falling of the wings of a crow. These wonderful features of Krishna's body never failed to astonish Mother Yashoda. At the end of his Kumar age, Krishna carried a small stick in his hand. His clothing was a little longer, and he had a knot around his waist, resembling the hood of a snake. In that dress, he used to take care of the calves near the house, and sometimes he played with cowherd boys about the same age. He had a slender flute and a buffalo horn bugle, and sometimes he played on a flute made from the leaves of trees. These are some of the symptoms of the end of Krishna's Kumar age. When Krishna was a little grown up and was taking care of the small calves, he would often go near the forest, and when he was a little bit late returning home, Nanda Maharaj would immediately get up on the Chandra Shaklika, a small shed built on the roof for getting a bird's eye view all around, and he would watch for him. Worrying about the late arrival of his little son, Nanda Maharaj would remain on the Chandra Shaklika until he could indicate to his wife that Krishna, surrounded by his little cowherd friends, was coming back with the calves. Nanda Maharaj would point out the peacock feather on his child's head and would inform his beloved wife of how the child was pleasing his eyes. Mother Yashoda would then address Nanda Maharaj, quote, "See, my dear son, whose eyes are white, who has a turban on his head, a wrapper on his body, and leg bells that tinkle very sweetly on his feet. He's coming near along with his Surabhi calves, and just see how he's wandering upon the sacred land of Vrindavan," end quote. Similarly, Nanda Maharaj would address his wife, quote, "My dear Yashoda, just look at your offspring, Krishna. See his blackish bodily luster, his eyes tinged with red color, his broad chest and his nice golden necklace. How wonderful he looks and how he's increasing my transcendental bliss more and more," end quote. When Krishna, the beloved son of Nanda Maharaj, stepped into his Kishore age, although he becomes more beautiful, his parents still consider him to be in the Paganda age, even though he is between the ages of 10 and 15. When Krishna is in his Paganda age, some of his servants also accept him as being in the Kishore age. When Krishna performs his childish pastimes, his general practice is to break the milk and yogurt pots, throw the yogurt in the courtyard, and steal the cream from the milk. Sometimes he breaks the churning rod and sometimes throws the butter on the fire. In this way, he increases the transcendental pleasure of his mother, Yashoda. In this connection, Mother Yashoda once told Makara, her maidservant, quote, "Just look at Krishna looking stealthily all around and slowly stepping forward from the bushes. It appears that he's coming just to steal the butter. Don't expose yourself, or he may understand that we are looking toward him. I want to enjoy the sight of his eyebrow moving this and in this cunning way, and I want to see his fearful eyes and beautiful face," end quote. In enjoying Krishna's attitude of stealing butter very stealthily, Mother Yashoda experienced the ecstasy of maternal love by smelling his head, sometimes patting his body with her hand, sometimes offering blessings, sometimes ordering him, sometimes gazing at him, sometimes maintaining him, sometimes giving him good instructions not to become a thief. Such activities are in maternal ecstatic love. An important point to be observed in this connection is that the childish propensity of stealing is there even in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore this propensity is not artificial. However, in the spiritual relationship, there is no inebriety to this stealing propensity as there is in the material world. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 13th Chapter, verse 33, Shukadeva Goswami tells King Parikshit, quote, "My dear king, as soon as the elderly gopis saw their sons coming, there was an inexpressible sign of parental love, and all of them became absorbed in affection. At first, they were planning to chastise their sons for stealing butter, but as soon as they his sons came before their eyes, they lost all of their angry attitudes and became overwhelmed with affection. They began to embrace their sons and smell their heads. While doing this, they became almost mad after their children. End quote. In their childhood pastimes, all these coward boys joined with Krishna in stealing butter. But rather than becoming angry, Mother Yashoda became wet from the milk flowing out from her breasts. Out of her affection for Krishna, she began to smell his head repeatedly. The general activities of all the mothers of the coward boys were to kiss them, to embrace them, to call them by their names, and sometimes to chastise them mildly for their stealing habits. These manifestations of parental love are called sattvika ecstasy, wherein manifestations of eight kinds of ecstatic symptoms are visible in full. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 13th chapter, verse 22, Shukadeva Goswami tells King Parikshit, quote, "All the mothers of the coward boys were illusioned by the covering of the influence of the Yogamaya potency of this personality of Godhead. And as soon as they heard the flute playing of their boys, they immediately stood up and mentally embraced their sons, who had been created by the direct internal potency of Krishna. Accepting them as their born sons, they lifted them into their arms and began to embrace them, resting the child's bodies upon their own. The emotions created by this incident were sweeter than nectar and turned into a palatable intoxicant, and the milk flowing out of their breasts was immediately drunk up by the children." End quote. In the Lalita Madhava compiled by Rupa Goswami, Krishna is addressed as follows, quote, "My dear Krishna, when you are engaged in herding the animals, the dust caused by the hooves of the calves and cows covers your nice face, an artistic tilak, and you appear very dusty. But when you return home, the milk flowing out from the breasts of your mother washes your face of its dust covering, and you appear to be purified by this milk, just as when the deity is washed during the performance of the Abhishek ceremony." End quote. It is the custom in the temples of deities that if there have been some impure activities, the deity has to be washed with milk. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he was washed by the milk from the breast of Mother Yashoda, which purified him from the dust covering. Sometimes there are examples of Mother Yashoda's becoming stunned in ecstasy. This was exhibited when she saw her son lifting Govardhan Hill. When Krishna was standing, raising the hill, Mother Yashoda hesitated to embrace him and became stunned. This dangerous position that Krishna had accepted by lifting the hill brought tears to her eyes. With her eyes filled with tears, she could not see Krishna anymore, and because her throat was choked up by anxiety, she could not even instruct Krishna as to what he should do in that position. This is a symptom of becoming stunned in ecstatic love. Mother Yashoda sometimes enjoyed transcendental ecstasy and happiness when her child was saved from a dangerous situation, such as being attacked by Putana or some other demon. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 17th chapter, verse 19, Shukadeva Goswami says that Mother Yashoda felt very, very fortunate when she got her lost child. She immediately placed him on her lap and began to embrace him again and again. While she was thus embracing her son repeatedly, torrents of tears fell from her eyes, and she was unable to express her transcendental joy. It is stated that in the Vidagdha Madhava of Srila Rupa Goswami, quote, "My dear Krishna, the touch of your mother is so pleasing and cooling that it surpasses the cooling capacity of the pulp of sandalwood and the bright moonshine mixed with the pulp of the Ushira root." End quote. Ushira is a kind of root which when soaked with water has a very, very cooling effect. It is especially used in the scorching heat of the sun. The parental love of Mother Yashoda for Krishna steadily increases, and her love and ecstasy are sometimes described as intense affection and sometimes as overwhelming attachment. An example of attachment for Krishna with overwhelming affection is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 6th chapter, verse 43, where Shukadeva Goswami addresses Maharaj Parikshit in this way, quote, "My dear king, when magnanimous Nanda Maharaj returned from Mathura, he began to smell the head of his son, and he was merged in the ecstasy of parental love," end quote. A similar statement is there in the connection with Mother Yashoda when she was too anxious to hear the sound of Krishna's flute, expecting him back from the pasturing ground. Because she thought it was getting very late, her anxiety to hear the sound of Krishna's flute became doubled, and milk began to flow from her breast. In that condition, she was sometimes going within the house, sometimes coming out of the house. She was constantly looking to see if Govinda was coming back along the road. When very many great sages were offering prayers to Lord Krishna, glorifying his activities, the queen of Gokul, Mother Yashoda, entered the battlefield of Kurukshetra, wetting the lower part of her sari with the milk flowing from her breast. The entrance of Mother Yashoda at Kurukshetra was not during the battlefield of Kurukshetra. At other times, Krishna went to Kurukshetra from his paternal home, Dwarka, during the solar eclipse, and at these times, the residents of Vrindavan also went to see him there. When Krishna arrived at Kurukshetra on pilgrimage, all the people assembled there began to say that Krishna, the son of Devaki, had arrived. At that time, Devaki, just like an affectionate mother, began to pat Krishna's face. And again, when people cried that Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, had come, both King Nanda and Mother Yashoda became overwhelmed with affection and expressed their great pleasure. When Mother Yashoda, the queen of Gokul, was going to see her son Krishna at Kurukshetra, one of her friends addressed her thus, quote, "My dear queen, the milk flowing out of your breast mountain has already whitened the river Ganges, and tears from your eyes mixed with black mascara has already blackened the color of the Jamuna. And as you are standing just between the two rivers, I think that there is no need for your anxiety to see your son's face. Your parental affection has already been exhibited but to him by these two rivers." End quote. The same friend of Mother Yashoda addressed Krishna as follows. Quote, "My dear Mukunda, if Mother Yashoda, the queen of Gokul, is forced to stand on fire, but is allowed to see your lotus face, then this fire will appear to her like the Himalaya mountains, full of ice. In the same way, if she is allowed to stay in the ocean of nectar, but is not allowed to see the lotus face of your grace, then even this ocean of nectar will appear to her like an ocean of arsenic poison." End quote. Let the anxiety of Mother Yashoda of Vraja, always expecting to see the lotus face of Krishna, be glorified all over the universe. A similar statement was given by Kunti Devi to Akura. Quote, "My dear brother Akura, my nephew Mukunda is long absent from us. Will you kindly tell him that his aunt Kunti is sitting among the enemy and would like to know when she is able to see his lotus face again?" End quote. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10th Canto 46, chapter verse 28, there is this statement. Quote, "When Uddhava was present in Vrindavan and was narrating the activities of Krishna in Dwarka, Mother Yashoda, while hearing this narration, began to pour milk from her breasts and shed tears from her eyes." End quote. An incident demonstrating Yashoda's extreme love for Krishna occurred when Krishna went to Mathura, the kingdom of Kamsa. In separation from Krishna, Mother Yashoda was looking at Krishna's makeup utensils when she fell down on the ground almost unconscious with a great sound. When she was rolling over on the ground, there were many scratches on her body, and in that piteous condition, she began to cry. Quote, "Oh, my dear son, oh, my dear son," unquote, and she slapped her breasts with her two hands. This activity of Mother Yashoda is explained by expert devotees in ecstatic love and separation. Sometimes there are many other symptoms such as great anxiety, lamentation, frustration, being stunned, humility, restlessness, madness, and illusion. As far as Yashoda's anxieties are concerned, when Krishna was out of the house in the pasturing ground, a devotee once told her, quote, "Yashoda, I think your movements have been slackened, and I see that you are full of anxieties. Your two eyes appear to be without any movement, and I feel in your breathing a kind of warmth which is bringing your breast milk to the boiling point. All these conditions prove that out of separation from your son, you have a severe headache," end quote. These are some of the symptoms of Mother Yashoda's anxiety for Krishna. When Akura was present in Vrindavan and was narrating the activities of Krishna in Dwarka, Mother Yashoda was informed that Krishna had married so many queens and were very busy there in his household affairs. In hearing this, Mother Yasoda lamented how fortunate she was that she could not get her son married just after he passed his Kishore age, and that she therefore could not receive both her son and daughter-in-law at her home. She exclaimed, quote, "My dear Akura, you are simply throwing thunderbolts on my head," end quote. These are signs of lamentation on the part of Mother Yasoda in separation from Krishna. Similarly, Mother Yasoda felt frustration when she thought, quote, "Although I have millions of cows, the milk of these cows could not satisfy Krishna. Therefore, let a curse be on this milk. And I also am condemned because although I am so opulent in material prosperity, I am now unable to smell the head of my child and feed him with my breast milk as I used to do when he was here in Vrindavan," end quote. This is a sign of prostration on the part of Mother Yashoda in separation from Krishna. One friend of Krishna's addressed him thus, quote, "My dear lotus-eyed one, when you were living in Gokul, you were always bearing a stick in your hand. That stick is now lying idle in the house of Mother Yashoda, and whenever she sees it, she becomes motionless, just like the stick," end quote. This is a sign of becoming stunned in separation from Krishna. In separation from Krishna, Mother Yashoda became so humble that she prayed to the creator of the universe, Lord Brahma, with tears in her eyes, quote, "My dear creator, won't you kindly bring my dear son Krishna back to me so that I can see him at least for a moment?" And quote, sometimes in restlessness, like a mad woman, Mother Yasoda used to accuse Nanda Maharaj, quote, "What are you doing in the palace? You shameless man, why do people call you the king of Raja?" It's very astonishing that while being separated from your dear son Krishna, you're still living within Vrindavan as a hard-hearted father. Someone informed Krishna about the madness of Mother Yashoda in the following words, quote, "In madness, Mother Yashoda has addressed the Kadamba trees and has inquired from them, quote, where's my son, end quote. Similarly, she has addressed the birds and the drones and inquired from them whether Krishna has passed before them, and she has inquired if they can say anything about you. In this way, Mother Yashoda, in illusion, was asking everybody about you, and she has been wandering all over Vrindavan," end quote. This is madness in separation from Krishna. When Nanda Maharaj was accused by Mother Yashoda of being, quote, hard-hearted, end quote, he replied, quote, "My dear Yashoda, why are you becoming so agitated? Kindly look more carefully. Just see, your son Krishna is standing before you. Don't become a mad woman like this. Please keep my home peaceful," end quote. And Krishna was informed by some friend that his father, Nanda, was also an illusion in this way, in separation from him. When all the wives of Vasudeva were present in the arena of Kamsa, they saw the most pleasing bodily features of Krishna, and immediately, out of parental affection, milk began to flow from their breasts, and the lower parts of their saris became wet. This symptom of ecstatic love is an example of a result of fulfillment of desire. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th chapter, verse 29, it is stated, quote, "When Krishna entered Dwarka after finishing the battle of Kurukshetra, first of all, he saw his mother and all his different stepmothers and offered his respectful obeisances unto their feet. The mothers immediately took Krishna on their laps, and because of their parental affection, there was milk flowing out of their breasts. So their breast milk, mixed with the water of tears, became the first offering to Krishna," end quote. This is one of the examples of being satisfied after a great separation. There is a similar statement in the Lalita Madhava, quote, "How wonderful it is that Yashoda, the wife of King Nanda, out of her parental affection for Krishna, mixed her tears and the milk from her breasts and thus bathed her dear son Krishna," end quote. In the Vidagdha Madhava, a devotee addresses Lord Krishna as follows, quote, "My dear Mukunda, just after seeing your face, which was full with the scent of the lotus flower, Mother Yashoda, being attracted by the moonlight of your face, became so overjoyed in her affection that immediately from the nipples of her water pot-like breasts, milk began to flow," end quote. She was thus constantly engaged in supplying milk to Krishna after wetting the covering cloth over the jug. These are some of the signs of parental love for Krishna by his mother, father, and parental or elderly persons. Symptoms of ecstatic love and parental affection are expressed when Krishna is accepted as the son. These constant transcendental emotions for Krishna are called steady ecstasy in parental love. Srirupa Goswami states herein that according to some learned scholars, the three kinds of transcendental mellow so far described, namely servitude, fraternity, and parental affection, are sometimes mixed. For example, the fraternal feelings of Balaram are mixed with the servitude and parental affection. Similarly, King Yudhisthira's attraction for Krishna is also mixed with parental affection and servitude. Similarly, the transcendental mellow of Urdhvasena, Krishna's grandfather, is mixed with servitude and parental affection. The affection of all the elderly gopis in Vrindavan is a mixture of parental love, servitude, and fraternity. The affection of the sons of Madri, Nakul and Sahadev, as well as the affection of the sage Narada, is a mixture of friendship and servitude. The affection of Lord Shiva, Garuda, and Uddhava is a mixture of servitude and fraternity.